Okay, today's daf is Kafeh. We're starting at the third line. Sha'alu lifnei Rebbe. Hamapelet shvir male basar. We're going to have a whole discussion about this. A gestational sack full of flesh. Mahu. Remember, we had in the Mishnah, right, there was mapelet shvir male maim, dam, or gnunim. She's not choshesha levlad. If it was merukam already, where the tissue started developing, then it would already be leida. And then we have the sandal and the shilya, which we'll get to later. So now we have something not mentioned in the Mishnah, but a shvir male basar, it's full of flesh. Obviously, it's not yet merukam. Okay, so the question is, what is it? Amar lahem lo shamati. So they ask Rebbe, he says, I don't know. Amar lefanav Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi. So now Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yossi, comes and says, Kach amar Abba, this is what my father taught. Male dam tmeani da. Male basar tmeale da. If it's full of blood, then we say it's nida. If it's full of flesh, we say it's laid down. Now, you remember this case with the full of blood? There was a whole debate about the full of blood because it's only if it's full of blood touching her body, if it's cracked or something, then it's a problem. But there was a machloket about if it's full of blood, but yet it's smooth on the outside and enclosed, then maybe it won't be an issue, right? And there was a machloket about that. So, and in fact, the main psak is only if dam comes out with it. That was a Mishnah we saw a few dapim ago. So he says both things. If it's male dam, it's nida. Remember, our Mishnah was only talking about hamapelet shvir male dam, eina choshesha levlad. It was not relating to the nida issue that we already discussed previously. So now he says like this. So if it's dam, it's tmeale nida. If it's full of flesh, then it's tmeale da. So he basically says to Rebbe, look, it's tmeale da. So Rebbe has a very smart response. He says, amale, this is where sometimes you're better off not saying too much. If you just said the question I asked about mishum avicha, then shmanu cha, then I would have believed, you know, I would have gone with you. But achshav midaha kamaita ki yechida ak amar kesuchu shamar mishum Rabbi Meir. Since the first thing you said was by a minority opinion, by this opinion of sumchus in the name of Rabbi Meir, hanami shema k'Rabbi Yoshua amara. Maybe your second statement you said, which was my question, you said your father had a very clear answer, but maybe he was also holding by a minority opinion. Which minority opinion? Maybe he's holding like Rabbi Yoshua. Ve'en halacha k'Rabbi Yoshua. We don't paskin like Rabbi Yoshua. Now, Rabbi Yoshua, we're going to see, didn't exactly say shvir male basar. We're going to see what he said. Ditanya. Hamapelet shvir she'eno merukam. Okay, so what did we say in the Mishnah? Im hayam merukam, tishev lazachar nekeva. The assumption of merukam is the tissue is already starting to develop. That's at day 41. Okay, after 40 days of being pregnant, day number 41, it's already considered merukam. So now, with a machloket, what about before it's merukam? And the assumption is this sak male basar is before it's merukam. And maybe the reason why he said, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, he said in the name of his father, that it's tamei leidam. Maybe he holds like Rabbi Yeshua, who says, hamapelet shvir she'eno merukam, the earlier stage, before the 41 days. Rabbi Yeshua omer vlad, v'chachamim omrim eino vlad. So maybe, right, he's holding like Rabbi Yeshua. So now there's going to be a whole discussion about this machloket, Rabbi Yoshua and Chachamim, in which case are they arguing? Because you know, it's saying before it's merukam, but you know how much before? And obviously, again, it's not going to be, they don't measure things in days generally. They're going to measure it in what it looks like. So there's going to be a debate about what case they're exactly arguing about. So we can kind of, now we're in parentheses really, because we were really discussing Rebbe, who was asked the question about the Shvir Male Basar. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi comes and says, the Shvir Male Basar is Tamei Leida. The Rebbe comes back and says, oh no, but maybe you're holding by this minority opinion, just like you did about the other case. So now the question is, what's the debate between Rabbi Yeshua and Chachami? Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Mishum Rabbi Yoshaya. Machloket Be'achor, Aval B'tzalul Devrei HaKol Eino Vlad. He says the machloket between Rabbi Yeshua and Chachamim is only if it's muddled the waters inside the sack. But if it's clear waters, then everyone agrees that there's no vlad, because if you can see right through it, right, we can assume you don't see anything, it's a vlad. So this is Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish in the name of Rabbi Yoshaya. Remember, it's in the name of Rabbi Yoshaya, because we're going to, at the end of the sugya, we're going to mention Rabbi Yoshaya. So then, if it's salul, everyone agrees it's not a vlad, then machloket is only if it's muddled waters. Of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi amar, b'tzalul machloket. Okay, he says, no, the machloket is when it's clear. Okay, so now there's a bit. So he says, even when it's clear, according to Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yoshua would say it's a vlad. So now they ask a question. Notice he says, "B'tzalu machloken," and he doesn't say, "But be'achor divrei akol vlad." Notice he didn't say that. So we buy Elihu, they asked a question. "B'tzalu machloket," did you mean that it's only a machloket in Salul, about be'achor divrei akol vlad? But when it comes to achor, even Chachamim would agree that even if it's before, it's not before Merukam, before that stage, but it's already muddled waters, we can assume it's a vlad. O Dilma, bein bezeh machloket. Or maybe it's a machloket in either case, and the Gemara ends with teku. We don't really know what Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi meant. Meitive. Now they ask a question. Et zo darash Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya. Okay, now, this is Rabbi Yoshua, the same Rabbi Yoshua. This is what Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya darshaned. Vayas Hashem Elokim la'adam u'lishto, kotnot or vayal bishem. Melamed, right, noted, right, the famous pasuk, right, God put on Adam and his wife, kotnot or, after they said, oh, we're naked, and he dressed them with or, with skin. Melamed, she'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu oseh or la'adam, okay, ela imken notzar. The or comes after the yitzirah. So the assumption is if you have this sack, the sack is made of skin, or is like, and Rashi says again, what exactly they mean here is a good question, but Rashi says, demishum or shapir l'chude metame, and the assumption is there's skin there even without anything else, whether the sack is of skin or inside there must be skin, the assumption is there must be skin already, and there's only skin after Adam is created, like with Adam HaRishon. So therefore, he learns from that pasuk, okay, that Alma be'or talya milta. It must be dependent on or, and therefore, even if it's clear, doesn't matter, it's still going to be considered that there was a vlad there. So that's a question on Rish Lakish, in the name of Rabbi Yoshaya's position, who said that everyone agrees if it's clear, it's not a vlad. So now what are they? Right, so, and therefore they say, Alma be'or talya milta, lo shna achor ve lo shna tzalul. It doesn't matter whether it's clear or whether it's muddled. No matter what, once there's a sack, there's already or, and once there's or, we're already going to say it must be there was a vlad there. So now they're going to explain even better why it's clear from the fact that they use this pasuk to prove it, that it must be even if it's tzalul. Iyamar b'shlama b'tzalul machloket. If you say the machloket between Rabbi Yeshua and Chachamim is about when the water's clear, haynu de'itzterich krat. That's why you needed the pasuk to tell you, right, that it's any kind of, as long as there's or there, even if it's clear. Ela iamar ba'achor machloket. Now, what's the assumption? Ba'achor, if Rabbi Yeshua says it's only if it's muddled, not if it's clear, what's the assumption why he says that? Well, it's just logical. What's muddled in there, if not a vlad, right, unless there's a fetus in there. So therefore, if you say ba'achor machloket, lamalika svara ba'almahu. Why do you even need a pasuk? It's just logic. You don't need a pasuk if it's a logical argument. Ela shmamina b'tzalu machloket. There'd be no point for the pasuk, because the pasuk is talking about skin. It's not talking about whether it's muddled, not muddled. And the assumption is if it's only muddled, well, the reason why it's muddled is because there's a vlad, and that's just logic. You don't need a pasuk. And therefore, the reason he must need the pasuk is because he holds even if the water's clear. Shmamina. So they infer from here, against Rish Lakish, like Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. V'chein amar Rav Nachman amar Rav Ravua. Now we're going to have another opinion. Okay, so far we've only been talking about people living in Eretz Israel. Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yoshaya, and Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Those were all Amoraim in Israel. Now we're going to say, just like Rish Lakish said in Eretz Israel, we also have in Babel Rav Nachman saying the same thing. V'chein amar Rav Nachman amar Rav Ravua. He said in the name of Rav Ravua, machloket be'achol. The machloket is only in muddled waters. Aval b'tzalul divrei akol eino vlad. But if it's clear, everyone agrees it's not a vlad. So now, even though in the previous sugya we kind of proved from the pasuk that that's not, that doesn't make so much sense. Now, etive Rav al Rav Nachman. Rav has a different question on Rav Nachman from another Tanaitic source. Ela amru siman vlad bebehema daka tinuf begasa shiliya beisha shafir v'shiliya. This was the sugya in Bechorot that we learned. It's very important to know if the mother miscarries something, whether an animal or a human, whether an animal miscarries or a human miscarries, we need to know, was it considered a leida for the purposes of bechor, right? Because in a human, so the firstborn, if it's not considered a vlad, then the next one born will be a bechor, and then they have to do pidyon with the kohen, right? They have to give the kohen money to do the pidyon, the redemption. Likewise with the Bechor has sanctity to it and has to be brought to the Kohen to be sacrificed. So again, you have to know, was the first one a Vlad, meaning is the second a Bechor or not? So he says like this, how do we know something is a Vlad in a Behema Dakan, a small animal? Tinuf, if something dirty comes out, then we're going to assume that was a Vlad. Bigasa, in a large animal, Shilia, okay, the placenta or afterbirth. Okay, some afterbirth coming. Bi'isha, shafir v'shilia. Both the sac and an afterbirth are both simanim of a vlad, meaning the one that comes after will not be a bechor. Okay, so notice the difference between a gasa and the isha. In a gasa, it's only a shilia, not a shfir. A shfir came out of a behema, a sac. We wouldn't call that a vlad. So ilu shfir v'behema lo patach. Right, they didn't exempt the next animal from being a bechor if a shfir came out, only a shilia. Only some sort of afterbirth, but not this sack. So, Iyamar bishlama b'tzalul machloket. If you say the machloket's about tzalul, mishum hachi isha. Now, why is there a difference between isha and behema? Because there was the pasuk about Adam and Chava, right? There was a unique pasuk, and it only applies to humans. So that's why, remember, the pasuk seems to support the tzalul machloket option. Rabbi Yeshua will say, even if it's clear, because as soon as there's or, that's already a vlad. So, ihachi isha de rabbi bakra, since there's a special pasuk to teach it, patar bashvir. But bebehema, there's no pasuk that says he put or on the behemot, so therefore, de lo rabbi kra, lo patar bashvir. So, therefore, this source seems to work very well with the tzalul. Ela iamart ba'achor machloket, michti svarahu, if the whole thing is a svara, that their whole machloket is about a chor. Now, if it's a chor, what's the assumption? Well, there must have been something in it. Why else is it muddled? So if that's the case, maishna isha umaishna behema. Okay, so therefore, they're assuming the fact that there's a distinction, adam behema, proves that this comes specifically from the issue of the pasuk and not logic. And if it's the pasuk, then it sides on the side of the clear and not the muddled. So again, that goes against Rav Nachman, who said the machloket is if it's muddled. So now they say, wait, you misunderstood. The assumption of the question was that the whole reason why we distinguish between human and animal was because of the verse in the Torah about the or. And that's only by humans, not by animals. But now they say, no, you misunderstood Rabbi Yoshua. Mistavarat Rabbi Yoshua misha pashitle. Don't assume that Rabbi Yoshua knew 100% this is a Vlad, and that's why he treats it as a Vlad. No. Rabbi Yoshua sipuke misapkale. He thought maybe it's a Vlad. Now, if you think maybe it's a Vlad, depending on the situation, you're going to go in a different direction because we have all sorts of laws about doubtful situations, and depending on what the situation is, sometimes we go l'kula, sometimes we go l'chumra. How so? V'azil hacha l'chumra, v'hacha l'chumra. He goes in each case l'chumra. What does that mean? It's not exactly easy. We'll see. Gabe isha dimamonahu. The female, with the woman, what's the issue? With the human case, so she gives birth to something, right? She has a miscarriage. Do we consider that a birth or not for the bechor, right? For the next one. So what are we going to say? What did we say here? We're going to consider the first one counted as the bechor. The second one is not. Why? Because safek mamona lekula. It's a mamonos issue. It's a matter of, does he have to pay the kohen the money to redeem the second son? So we say, well, maybe the first, right? We always say safek mamon. We leave hamosim echavero alav haraya. The one who has to take the money out from the other has to prove it. Here the kohen can't prove that the first one wasn't a bechor, so we're going to go lekula for the woman here. So she doesn't have to pay.
It wasn't always mamon. When they're in the Beit HaMikdash, they had to serve, and it had nothing to do with mamon.
No, the bechorim never served. Remember, the levim served. They always did the only very early on, right? Okay. So now, gabe behema de'isurahu, but a behema, what's the issue? Is the second one have sanctity to it? Once it has sanctity, it's like a begi zavavoda. Remember, you can't shear the animal, you can't work the animal. It has all sorts of isurim on it. So there, we have to go to chumrah and assume that the first one wasn't at birth, and the second one is. Safek isura lechumra. And hachinami kabe isha safek tuma lechumra. And when it comes to the woman, now is the important part, because we were only dealing before with bechor, Okay, so when it came to the Bechor issue, we're going to say the second one doesn't need pidyon. However, what did Rabbi Yeshua say? If it's Eino Merukam, we're still going to say that she's Tmea Leida, because we're going to go the Chumra and make her, right? She's Safek Tumah Lechumra. Okay? Again, we did talk about how it's a Chumra that leads to a Kula because there's Dam Tohar, but I guess they're focusing on the element that we're going to assume she has Tumah, that she's Tmea now, Tumah Leida, immediately after giving birth to her, having this miscarriage. So now the assumption is, right, again, we started with saying the machloket seems to be bitsalul. Otherwise, there'd be no difference between Isha and Behema. And now we say, no, it could be only an achor. And the whole issue is we're not sure what the situation is. And therefore, we're going to say, let's treat it l'chumra in both directions. So now they say, v'ha how can you say that Rabbi Yeshua's whole law is predicated on a sefik, which was the answer we gave to our question? How can you say that? Right? But isn't there a pasuk? In other words, he learns it out from the pasuk with Adam HaRishon. That seems to make it sound like it's clear. It's not a sefik. So what are the answer? No, midrabbanan ukras machta ba'almahu. Really, it's just a din de Rabbanan of Sfeikot. He's not sure, and therefore he says, let's be machmir and treat it as dam leida. But, yes, it's true. He learns it from a pasuk. That's just a way to remember. It's a way that you remember, oh, once this or, right, just like Adam HaRishon, first he was created, then there was or, so therefore you remember it. But it's just a mnemonic device. Okay, so we had, again, let's just remember where we started. We had a question. We had Rebbe who said, I don't know, I never learned anything about this. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi comes and says, we treat it as Dam Leida, although they then suggest maybe he's only holding like Rabbi Yeshua. And then there was a whole debate, is this opinion of Rabbi Yeshua in clear, if it's clear, or only if it's muddled? So we have a lot of different options here. So Amar Rav Hanina Bar Shlemya L'Rav, so he says to Rav, Ha Rebbe, we have Rebbe on one hand who didn't have a Masoret. Ha Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, we have him who says it is a problem. Vaha Rabbi Yoshaya, Vaha Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So there's two different opinions from Rabbi Yoshaya and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, whether, right, whether we're going to treat it, right, whether the machloket when Rabbi Yeshua is, right, whether it's Be'achor or Be'tzalul, and then what Chachamim debate, we didn't even know within Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi whether the debate is both in Tzalul and in Achor. So Mar Kiman Sfirle, so who do you hold by? In other words, this is a big mess. What are we supposed to do? Amar Le, Ani Omer, Echad Ze V'Echad Ze Ein Achosheshet. We don't assume that the first one was a vlad in any case. Ushmuel Amar, Echad Ze V'Echad Ze Achosheshet. And Shmuel says, we're concerned in all the cases that it's a vlad, okay? So Rav goes, lekula here basically, or again, however you view it, depending on the situation. We don't think it's a vlad at all. Shmuel says, we think it's a vlad. Ba'az de Shmuel l'ta'ameh. And now we say Shmuel is consistent within his approach. Techi'ata Rav Dimi, where Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel. This is a bit of an exception to the rule. Usually Rav Dimi comes from Eretz Yisrael to Babel and brings the Torah Eretz Yisrael to Babel. In this case, he came from Eretz Yisrael and told the people in Babel what Shmuel had said, which he probably learned on his previous time he had been in Babel. For some reason, the Babylonians didn't remember anymore. I read somewhere about Nahardia being destroyed and that they didn't know anymore what he had said. And he came back, he remembered. So, Ki'ata Rav Dimi Amar, Me'olam lo dechu shvir b'Nahardia. They never said that a shvir is tahor. They always said, like Shmuel, that it's, right, Shmuel was in Nahardah, that it's tamei leida. Levar me'ahu shvira da'ata l'kamei de Shmuel, d'manach alei chuta se'ara mehai gisa, v'chazia mehai gisa. There was only one shvir that came out of a woman's body, that he put a hair on one side, and you could see it from the other side. It was so super clear that he said, there's clearly nothing in here, and this is not a vlad. But any other case, he was mocking. Now, before we continue, I just want to point out that Shmuel is known in many places. He knew a lot about astronomy. He knew a lot about science. He knew a lot about medicine. He was known in general. We've seen him quoted in a lot of these sugyot as having medical knowledge, and we're going to see this now also. So now they say, so that case he was mekel, but other than that he didn't. Va'amar im ita devlad havai lo avazi kulei ha. He says if this was a vlad, it certainly wouldn't have been so transparent. Ve'im hayam merukam. We're going to see more about Shmuel in a few minutes. V'im haya merukam, tanu. So now the Mishnah continues and says, if it was merukam, which we assume means, like I said, even though the Mishnah doesn't say this, the Gemara assumes this means after 40 days of her being pregnant. If it was merukam, we're already going to treat that as a vlad, and teshev lazachar ulenekeva. Tanu rabanan, ezehu shvir merukam, what is a shvir merukam? Abba Shaul omer, tchilat, right, we had in yesterday's daf, as the kover metim, he also seemed to know a lot about people's bodies. So he says, tchilat briyato merosho, first part that's created is the head, ushte enav kishtei tipin shel zvuv. It looks like two little dots of a bug. What do you call it? A bee. A fly. Okay. Tani Rabbi Chiya. Meruchakin ze mizeh. Rabbi Chiya adds to this, and they have to be a little apart, because eyes are right separated. Shnechot, the Braita continues. We keep having these breaks in the Braita, you'll see. Shnechot amin, two nostrils, kishtei tipin shel zvuv. Also, like two dots of a fly. Tani Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya adds, umikur avin zelazen. Those are closer, right? Just like the eyes are, right? So you'll have to see two things that are a little distant, two things that are a little closer. Upiv matuach kechut ha-seara. Like a little thin hair. Okay? Ugviato, which either the body, ka'adasha, but that seems a little weird, the size of a lentil. Most people say gviato is the man's penis, and you know, the baby's penis, is a teeny little lentil piece, you'll see. We'll have to see how you check. Okay, there's going to be a check to figure out if it's male or female, because that's going to affect how many days. V'imaitana keva, right, where there's nothing jutting out, how would you know? Nidona kisse orala orka. Okay, like barley, a grain of barley has a little line in the middle. So if you see a little teeny line like that, you'll know that that's kind of the space of the opening of the vagina. V'chituch yadayim v'raglayim. Ein lo, okay, at this early stage, there's no arms or legs yet. V'alav meforash b'kabbalah, and here you see in Iyov it says, halo kechelev titicheni, okay, how do they say the word, poured me out like milk, ukagvina takpieni, and curdled me like cheese, or, okay, basically, this is how you create man, or ubasar talbisheni, the skin and then the flesh, va'atzamot ugidim tisochacheni, and then the bones, and it's first the inner parts, then the bones and the sinews. Chayim v'chesed asita imadi, then you put the...
No, the outer parts first. First you've given me skin and flesh, and then you've put bones and sinews.
So I understood the basar is the inner organs. I read that. Where did I see that? Chalav. Yeah, it's not in Rashi. But I saw it somewhere where they explain that it's the inner parts here. I understood the flesh was the inner parts, but I don't know. Okay. V'atzamot v'gidim tisochacheni. Chayim v'chesed asita imadi. And then you put the life into the lifeblood in. U'pgudatecha shamra ruchi. And then you protect it. Again, exactly what this means, I can't tell you 100%. V'ein bodkin oto b'mayim. Okay, now, when you get this fetus that came out of the woman's body, and you want to check it. Okay, so how do you check what stage it's up to? Well, you don't put it in water or wash it off with water. Shamayim mazin, because the water is hard. Vitordino to, and it basically will muddle it again, erode it. Okay. Ela botkino to b'shemen shashemen rach. Okay, shemen is soft and it won't destroy it. Umitzach tzicho, and you kind of
makes it shine.
And it makes it shine. Ve'ein ro'in ela bechaman. You look up at the sunlight to be able to see it. Now, then they ask, ketzad bodkin oto. So now this is strange. Didn't we just explain? Ketzad bodkin oto kedamrina. We just explained. Ela bame bodkin oto leidaim zacharu im nekeva. How do we know if it's male or female? Zacharu nekevahi. Abashal barnash, v'amrila abashal bar remesh, whichever one it was, Omer mevi kesam shorosho chalak. You bring a little chip of wood that's smooth, umuna'anea ba'oto makom, and you kind of take it and what's the word? Like you move it back and forth. Im misachsech, if it kind of gets stuck on it, biyadua shezacharu, that there's something jutting out that it's getting stuck on. V'im lav biyadua shenekevahi. So now, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avuah, Lo Shanu Ela Milamala Talamala. It's only if you go down, coming up, then it'll get stuck on it. Aval Minat Stadim, but if you go from the sides, and you kind of move it around the sides, Ema Kot Lebet HaRechem Ninu, you might be hitting into the uterus. But they're basically saying, I don't know if this works really with the anatomy, but I think what they're trying to say is, there's also something of the woman that's not of a man. In other words, you know, if you compare, so the man's juts out, the woman's doesn't, but also her uterus is kind of this extra part that doesn't exist by a man. So you have to be careful how you check to see if there's something extra. This is like, you know, what obviously comes to mind is when you go to those ultrasounds and they show you different parts, and, you know, to me they look like you could say that's that and you could say that's that, and I don't know how they really, you know, can tell. Obviously, they're trained in it, right? But to the untrained eye, you don't really know. Anything could be anything. So that's basically what it sounds like to me. Amarav Adabar Ava. Tana im haita nekeva nidona kesara stuka. So now another bright about this. If it was nekeva, so again, it would be this, you would see this little line that looks like a barley, like the line in the middle of a barley grain. Matkefla Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman asked a question, though. V'dilma chut shel beitzim nidu. Theoretically, in between the testicles, there could also be a line, like where they kind of, you know,
they're going to split.
What?
Like where they're going to split.
I guess where they're going to split or where they are, and then there's this line of space in between. So Amar Abaye, hashta beitzim gufayu lo yediyeh. They haven't even developed yet. Chut shel beitzim yediyeh. There's certainly not going to be a line there. In other words, that's a later development. Again, how they knew what developed when, you know, it's really hard to know. Amrav Amram, Tana, Shnei Yerechotav, this really sounds lessons for ultrasounds, how to know what's this. If you see the two Yerechaim, how do you know the two legs? Are Kishnei Chutin Shel Zehorit. They're like two red Chutim, okay, they weren't red, but the way the red threads look like. Amrav Amram ala Kishel Erev. The way you have, remember, on the loom, there's the woof and the warp. So the woof were thicker strings. That's the part, the warp is the part that's on the loom, and the woof is what you thread in. So the ones, the arev, are strong, but they're, the warp are strong but thin, and the woof is thicker. Okay, so here we're really only concerned about the thickness. So the legs obviously make sense. They're going to be thicker. They're like Eret. Ushnezer otav, and the arms, kishnei chutim shel zeorit, also like two string looking like, they look like strings. Vamra vamra mala kishel sheti. Okay, that's like the warp. Okay, so that they're thinner. So the arms are thinner, the legs are thicker. Amale Shmuel Rav Yehuda. Shinina, remember he calls Rav Yehuda Shinina, my smart student? Lo ta'avid uvda ad shiasir. He gives him a very easy sign. He says, forget about all these things. If you see hair, that's a sign, which is possibly even a later stage, right? He says, don't do anything until you see hair. Forget about all this. I'm going to give you a very simple way to determine, okay? And we're going to see that he was concerned that people weren't going to know how to do all this stuff, and therefore he just gave them something which is very obvious, which is hair. Umiyamar Shmuel hachi, did Shmuel really say this? Bahamar Shmuel, do you remember what Shmuel said? Achadzo v'achadzo chosheshet. Remember, in the case of the Shvir Malei Basar, where certainly you don't see hair, he said, we're going to be choshesh levlad. So Amar of Ami Bar Shmuel, ledidi mefarshali minei demar Shmuel, lachush chosheshet yimei tahara, lo yehavin ale, lachush chosheshet yimei tahara, lo yehavin ale ad shiasir. In other words, remember, we said it's a chumra haba mevili de kula, because there's dam tameh and there's dam tohar. So what he said is, we're going to be choshesh that it's a vlad, and you're going to have to wait 14 days because maybe it was a female, and that's the worst case scenario. But all the days after that, if you see blood, they're not going to be considered dam tohar unless she actually the vlad actually has hair. That, then you can say for sure. So now they say, still that's a little problematic, l'Shmuel. L'memer de mesapkale l'Shmuel? Are you saying that Shmuel wasn't really sure at what stage, and only when you see hair, you know for sure? V'ha ha'hu shvira, we're going to now bring a case of a shvir that was brought before, atay l'kameh de mar Shmuel, they brought before Shmuel. Amar, and here he said, here we're going to see how smart Shmuel was about this stuff. He said, ha bar arba'im v'chad yoma. Okay? He says, I can see, from the likes of this is clearly a 41-day-old, and it's a problem, right? It's tamei. The mother is tahora, is tmeiad meleda. So now they now did a count. They said, okay, let's see if he's right. V'chashiv miyoma da'aza l'tfila. Okay, the assumption is she didn't get pregnant until she went to the mikvah. So they counted back to the day she toveled. Okay, it's interesting. We always count from the day she got her period. They counted, here you see it, because I said a while back, I wasn't sure where they're counting from. Here you see they count from the day she really got pregnant, okay, from the tefillah. Ad ahu yoma, okay, so they counted from the tefillah until that day, and lo and behold, how much was it? V'lo hava ela arba'in yomin, and not arba'in ve'chad. It looks like Shmuel made a mistake. V'amar lehu, and Shmuel said to them, Hai b'ni da ba'al, this woman must have slept with her husband when she was still in Nida. Okay? So now, the story gets more interesting. So now, the students wanted to know, to Shmuel, is she really right? Sounds a little crazy, right? So Kafte, they bound him up, the husband, ve'ode, until he admitted, he confessed, that he really had slept with her when she was in Nida. You have to wonder, was it a forced confession? Or, right, exactly. But they basically, and whether they really forced him is a good question. Also, maybe they just, you know, put him on the spot and said, did you really sleep with her when she was in Nida? And he said, in fact, I did. And then from there, it was proven that Shmuel clearly really knows what he's doing. So that, there goes the big question. Why did he say, Ad she asir, to Rav Yehuda? So now they say, Ashani Shmuel de Rav Gufre. He was an expert in this field. So he was the only one, though, who knew how to tell. And he realized not everyone was expert like him. And therefore, he said, let me give you a very easy external sign of the hair. Okay, now we're going to go to the Mapelet Sandal. If you remember this sandal, what's a sandal? A sandal is there were twins and one kind of crushed the other. And now we're going to see how crushed is it. Is it crushed that you can still make out some of the facial features, or is it crushed that it's entirely without form? So Tanu Rabbanan, sandal dome ledag shel yam. Okay, it's like this dog that we call a sandalfish. Mitrilato vladhu ela shinirtzah. Originally it was a vlad, but then it got crushed by its twin. Rashba gomer sandal dome lashon shel shor. Okay, now if it's a fish, it kind of has shape to it. But if you say it's like a lashon shel shor, like Rashbag said, it's like the tongue of a bull. A tongue of a bull is smooth, so then it really has no features to it.
It wasn't developed yet.
No, it was developed. No, he still thinks it was developed. It just got crushed entirely. So domel lashon shel shor hagadol. And then mishum rabotenu hiidu, but in the name of the rabbis, they testified. We're going to see later who's the one who testifies. This sounds like the majority opinion, but later we're going to say no, it was really just an individual who said it in the name of the rabbis. It's really an individual opinion. But here it says sandal in the name of the rabbis, sandal tzarich tzurat panim. In order for it to be tamei d'mei leida, it has to have the shape of the form of a face. Okay, it's not like lashon shel shor hagadol. And it's not even like the sandalfish, which doesn't have so much form either. It really has to have, you have to see that there's features there in order to say that it's tamei tumat leida, like our Mishnah says. So Amar Rav Ada, Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yitzchak. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halacha. So what's the halacha here? He says, sandal tzarich tzurat panim, like the rabbi said in this braita. Amar Rav Ada, Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yitzchak, sandal tzarich tzurat panim. Okay, he says it also needs it. But afilu me'achorav, even if the head is flipped around to the other side and it's facing the wrong direction, still it will be considered a vlad. Why? Mashal la'adam shesatach et chavero v'yichzir panav la'achorav. This wouldn't really happen in real life, but he's saying, imagine what happened here in utero, right? The other one kicked it. Obviously, the head is much softer at that point, and it just flipped around the other way. As long as you see tzurat panim, even if it's backwards, that'll still be considered a vlad. So they all say it needs tzurat panim like the rabbis. But bimei Rabbi Yanai, bikshu letaher et hasandal she'en lo tzurat panim. So they tried to say in the time of Rabbi Yanai, like these other rabbis, that it's tahor, basically, if it doesn't have tzurat panim, it's not tamei leida. Amar lehem Rabbi Yanai, tihar temet havladot. He didn't like this opinion that everyone else was holding by. He said, you're taking these vladot and you're saying the mother's Torah from leida. Doesn't make any sense. It really was a vlad. It just got totally crushed by the twin. V'hatanya, so they say to him, but doesn't it say in the Braita, mishum rabotenu hi'idu, sandal tzarich tzurat panim. So why wouldn't you hold like the rabbis? That's the majority opinion. So Amar Rabbi Bar Abaye, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Me'edutos Shel Rabbi Nechunya Nishnei Mishnah Zo. That was only Nechunya, Rabbi Nechumya, who taught that Mishnah, meaning it's a unique opinion, and not everybody agrees with it. Amar Rabbi Zera, here's a funny line. So Rabbi Bar Abaye brought this halacha, brought this masoret in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that this, right, he was obviously sitting in the yeshiva, heard Rabbi Yochanan say it, and he passed it down, that this braita was said in the name of Rabbi Nechunya. So Amar Rabbi Zera, Zachaba Rabbi Bishmate, I was there too. He was Zoched that he was the first one to say this. But really, I was in the room where Rabbi Yochanan said it too, and theoretically, I could have said it. Right? I was there when he said this limud in the Beit Midrash. But he was the one who said it first in Rabbi Yochanan's name, so he got the statement in his name. He was Ra'oi, and I missed out the opportunity, right? It's like missed opportunities. If I had said it first, it would have been passed down in my name. Right? You see the importance of having, right, people say also, right, it's if people quote you saying something, it's mevi gula la'olam, so he kind of wanted things done in his name. It would have been nice. Lama hizkiru sandal. Now we have a big question about what's the nafkamin of this whole halacha of sandal? The assumption here of a sandal is that what happens? The mother gives birth. There's twins. One is alive, one comes out not alive. So now, if she already gave birth, what's the issue? She gave birth to a twin, right? So, exactly. So we'll see about the boy-girl issue. Lama is kibur sandal, we're going to have two answers. V'halo ein sandal she'eni mo vlad. There's no such thing as a sandal that doesn't have a vlad. I di ityalada nekeva bahadei hachinami. You're right. If the first one was a girl, if the ta'om, or not the first one, but whichever one comes out, right, the survivor, the survivor was a girl, well then, you're right, there's no nafkamina because the girl has many more, right, you have to wait many more days for the girl. But hacha b'mayaskinan de'it yaled zachar b'hadeh. The chidush is when a zachar was born, and then exactly as you said, Judy, well then you have to know that if there was a zachar, then you'll have to wait also potentially for nekeva, because now we can't tell what the vlad is, you have to be machmir. So ma'u detema. Now you might have thought ho'il va'amar of Yitzchak bar Ami isha mazra tchila yoledet zachar. Right? They had these beliefs about or principles upon which how do we know whether it's going to be a boy or a girl? So it depends. If the woman's seed goes first, then yoledet zachar. Then it'll be male. If ish mazria tchila, if his seed goes first, then yoledet nekeva. So therefore, midaha zachar, ha nami zachar, you might have thought, well, therefore, it's all based on which seed went first. So therefore, twins must necessarily both be of the same sex, right? We obviously know
this. But they do, even they do.
Right, so exactly. So you have to wonder, they must have known this also. Seems a little weird. Anyway, they say, in case one might think, you know, maybe, could be twins weren't so rampant in those days, and maybe they were worried people wouldn't know so much about twins and maybe would come to incorrect conclusions. Kamash malan, it could be, ema shnehem izriyu bebat achat, right, how do you end up with twins then, according to that theory? Well, if both came at the same time, then hai zachar v'hai nekeva, right? Then you end up, right, if both seeds arrived at the same moment, again, I'm not exactly sure what this means. She was Mazria first and he was Mazria first. I don't know technically what this means. I mean, obviously, this is all just a belief they had, right? Like, everybody always wants to know. It's the age-old question, right? How do you know whether you're going to give birth to a boy or a girl? It's just classic that they came up with some explanation. So if they happen v'atachad, then you could end up with a zachar and a nekeva, and that's why it's telling you about the sandal, so that you know that maybe you'd still have to be concerned that maybe it was a nekeva. You can't assume, because it was a zachar, that the other one's a zachar too. That's one explanation. Tavar acher, second explanation, she'im tele nekeva lefnei shkiat hachama, let's say first, she gives birth to a girl at Shkia, and then v'sandal la'achar Shkiat HaChama, and then after sunset, the sandal comes out. Monet tchilat nidal rishon u'tchilat nidal la'acharon. You need to count by both, because the one after Shkia is considered the next day. So if you didn't have this halacha of sandal, you would just go by the first birth, which happened on the previous day. So therefore, that would be a nafkamina that you'd have to add one more day, because the sandal, you'd have to be choshesh for a vlad. So two possible nafkaminas. We'll finish here.